How many know freedom's not free? It's not free. It always comes with a price. Years ago, our forefathers of this country set out so that we could have something different, something unlike the rest of the world. And if you look, even though we still got major issues, how many know we still got major issues in America? We are still more blessed and better than, not better than, in better shape. Let me say it that way, because we're not better than anybody. But we, our country is, if you rank them in how countries go, the people that are there, the freedoms that they have, we are still the greatest country in the world, right? Again, we've still got a long ways to go to be good, right? We still got a long way to go. A lot of things that needs to change. But mostly, man, what needs to change is our hearts, right? Is our hearts. And Aaron did a beautiful job last week of presenting the gospel. How many of you enjoyed that? It was good. If you didn't get to hear it, man, go back on there and check it out. You won't be disappointed. Yeah, he did a little bit of everything. Christopher was out, and I don't sing. So he sang and he preached and I was just gonna let him do the whole thing. We just called it the Aaron Show last week, but he said no. He said, "Can you do at least one thing?" And I said, "Well, maybe I can. Maybe." It was a lot of fun, but he's happy about that. He was sweating bullets enough, huh? It happens, man. If you don't get up here and you're nervous about what you're about to say, then you shouldn't be up here. I don't think, man. I'm just being honest because I'm always worried that I don't present it in the right manner. I don't present it in a way that you guys can understand it. Because how many of you know my mind works different than some people's, right? Right? Especially my wife's. Works way different than my wife's. But I want us to understand what God has done for us. And so let me take a step back. My brain's running 30 miles an hour and I'm only talking 10. So I've been researching or seeing this one thing. How many of you know at certain times of your life you see certain things in the scripture that speak to you more than others? Like there's a certain principle that you see and it deals with you for a little while and then you move on to something else, right? And then it deals with you for a while and that's what it's supposed to do. Well, the one thing that I've been noticing, man, we read in the book of Romans, we went through it all and we've been doing it on Wednesday nights and the concept that I see in the book of Romans is Paul talking about this is what you need to know about Jesus. Right? In the first 11 chapters. And then the last four chapters, 12 through 16, he says this. Now this is how you act, knowing that. Right? How many of you know we know a lot of things, but sometimes we don't change the act part. Right? Just because we know how to do it doesn't mean that we do it and do it well. Right? I've been watching some videos on doing some different things. Y'all are going to laugh, but how many of you ever watched like prepper shows, like where they get everything together and they build the bunkers and they do all these different things? We've been watching some of that. How many of you know some of those guys make a lot of sense, whole lot of sense? Some of them are just out there, man, you know, like just out there. And you're like, I don't understand. Well, I've been watching these shows and seeing different things and YouTube does amazing things too, you know, and watching different stuff and just seeing how people do different things and I have gained a lot of knowledge on how to do certain things. But it doesn't mean I can do them, right? It doesn't mean I can do them. I love that show. Yeah, I'm going to get to the message in a minute, y'all. I'm just setting it all up. You ready? I love that show, Nailed It. How many of you have seen it? If you haven't seen it, I want you to Google it. It's called Nailed It, right? So they bring all these people in that bake these things, man. They each have a theme. They have something that they're supposed to make it look like. And they have professional like cake builders and professional cookie makers and cupcake makers. And they make these things and they look. How many of you know some people can make some amazing? Lisa Kurtz, she makes some amazing stuff that's edible, right? She made a dessert the other day. It had flowers on it. I'm like, oh, let me put the flowers. She's like, no, you can eat it. I'm like, no, it's a flower. She's like, I made it. You can eat it. I'm like, oh, okay. Man, that's the best flower I've eaten. You know what I'm saying? And so there's people that can make things look amazing. And then there's me that tries to do that and it looks absolutely nothing like it. So just because I have the knowledge of this is what it's supposed to look like, this is what it is, doesn't mean that I grasp it well all the time. Amen? We do the same thing in our lives. And so today we're going to take a look. I got four things. And one of my things in my notes is different on my notes than on your notes, but it's going to work together. So it'll be all right. Number four is going to be a little bit different, but same scriptures, just different thought. But understanding what freedom is, that Jesus Christ paid for our freedom, that we're free from sin, that we have acceptance, that we can access it, doesn't mean that we understand how to do it. And one of the things that I want to make abundantly clear, starting out as number one in your notes, is that we are saved by faith, not by works. We're saved by faith, not by works. So Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's a gift, not as a result of works, so that nobody could boast." How many of you know if we could earn something ourselves, when we earn something, we're like, "Hey, look what I earned," right? Like, "I got this medal. I got this thing, right? I got this. I did that. I got this trophy. It was just for participation. I got this. I got that," right? I earned these things, right? Our salvation is not something that we can earn. I love what John said about it long time ago, and I'll always remember this, is that the only thing that I bring to the gospel message is my sin. My ability to mess everything up is the only thing I can bring to the table. And it's not until we understand that that we truly understand what grace is. We truly understand what the gospel is. And we're about to have some baptisms in a minute. And there's controversy as to what I'm about to say at different churches, different doctrines, different theologies. Some of you know we're all brothers and sisters, even though we don't get stuff together the same all the time, right? Like, I can fight and fuss with my brother, but he's still my brother, right? At the end of this day, and I can disagree, and he can disagree, and we decide not to talk about it, but to talk about the things that we do agree on, and that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died for our sins, and that he wants everyone to come to him. Amen? So, but baptism. We're going to have baptism, and I want you to understand that we can't earn our salvation by baptism, right? So my daughter, Sydney, when she was 5, she wanted to be baptized. When she was 3, she wanted to be baptized. And I said, "Well, tell me what baptism is." She couldn't tell me. She said, "I want to be saved, and I want to wash away my sins." I said, "That's not what baptism does. It's not what it's about. Your sins are already washed away, right? I don't have to do anything to earn my salvation, right?" I went to a service a while back at a church here. How many of you know, as a pastor, I still like to go to other churches and hang out with them? And I go in the evening sometimes and hang out at services and do different things. And one of the things he said, they believe differently, exactly opposite on this than we did. And he said, "Hey, you know, this, we believe that the water mixes with the word and it washes away your sins." And I don't agree with that. I see the scriptures that they use. And what I want to tell you on that is, get in your word and read and see what it says to you. And decide for yourself, because I could tell you stuff all day long, but what if I'm wrong? Like, y'all got really quiet except for one amen. I'm like, "Wait, then why are we listening to you?" Yeah, I understand that. I understand. I could be wrong, right? I get stuff wrong every now and then. Ask my wife. She'll give you a list of them, right? But it's one of those things that when I read the scriptures and I understand what it says and I do the studies on the different things, that I understand that baptism is me showing you, it's a profession of my faith, it's me showing you what Jesus Christ has already done on the inside of me. That I was full of sin, that I was the old man, that I was baptized into Christ, right? And then I came out a new creation, washed clean. It's a symbol. It's so that you can understand what Christ has done inside of me. It's a public profession of my faith. That's what I believe. That's what we believe here at Victory Church, that I'm dead to sin. That has already taken place. Do you know when that took place? When I said, "God, I need you. I can't do it on myself. Forgive me." That's when he takes them away. He doesn't say, "Okay, now go get in the water and then we'll make it real. It's official," right? That's not what happens. That's sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have been like that. I'm sorry. That's kind of sarcastic in what I say. But that's not what he does. He doesn't say, "Okay, we'll do these things and then you'll be holy enough. Then you'll be worthy enough." Well, what if I don't have anybody around me to baptize me? I can't get baptized. What if the person baptizing doesn't think I need to be baptized because he don't like me? Right? There's a lot of different things that could play in. And you're saying, "Well, you're being kind of crazy." I am. That's just how my brain works. That's how I find things out and are able to share what I believe. I believe that when we go in a minute and we watch these 4 people that are going to be baptized, and if there's anybody else, even if you didn't bring clothes, we put you in the list too. It's okay. It is us showing what Christ has already done inside of us. We can't earn salvation. It's not for the remission of sin. Mark 1:14-15, it says, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Believe in what is coming. Believe in what God has done. We need to understand that we can't earn it. We can't be good enough. He's like, you guys remember, refer back to the, how many of you have been shopping cart good lately since I said that? I did it this morning. I walked it all the way back in the store. I did it. That's how good I was today, right? See, y'all say, I have no clue what you're talking about. Go back a couple weeks and listen. I'm just going to tell you that. I've been shopping cart good ever since I read that thing that night, right? I don't go anywhere because sometimes that's the definition of good, right? What's the definition of good? How good is good? Good in my life may not be good in your life. How many of you know it? Good in God's life is way different than what my idea of what good should be, right? What I think it is. If I read the word and I see, I understand that the only time that I can come to him is when I understand that I can't do it. That I can't do it. Say, who can come to him? Like, well, you don't understand about me. You don't understand about my past. You don't understand what I've done. Man, I'm glad that you guys don't understand about me and my past. I really am. Because you know what? I was an idiot. I'm just be real. I'm still that way sometimes, my wife says. She still loves me, though, so I don't know what happened there. Acts 15:7-9. Who can come to him? It says, after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by the mouth of Gentiles you should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. This is Peter talking to the men and saying, hey, we think we're the only ones, talking to the Jews. We're not the only ones. God has given them the law too. How many of you in here are not Jewish? I'm not Jewish. I'm really glad that he decided to include me into this little game that they're playing, this little party that's going on, right? It's not a game, but I'm really glad that they invited me to come and be a part of it. And if we look in the scripture, it shows us time and time again, before Jesus, that everyone was able to come to him. He told to Abram, I tell you guys this all the time, but I want you to understand it. He said to Abram that I'm going to bless you so you'll be a blessing, that all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of you. What was the blessing that was going to come from Abraham? Jesus. Follow the lineage down. That's why in the Jewish culture it's so important that they follow the lineage of Jesus, and that's why they always started out. When you see Paul, when you see Peter, anybody talking to the people that they're presenting the gospel to in the New Testament that haven't heard about Jesus, they start out with, this is what we believe. This is the lineage. This is where Jesus came from, which fulfills the prophecy and makes him who he truly is, that he is the Messiah. Again, how many did he fulfill? All of them, or he's not the Messiah. So if one was missing, it's not him. But it can be proven by Scripture that they're all true. That they're all true. Again, who can come to him? Anybody, everybody. Yeah, John 1:11-13 says this. It says, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He's adopted us into his family. And it's not that we're second-rate children. Do you guys know anybody that's been adopted? Like, I have some good friends. I've known many people that have been adopted, and what I understand to be true about the situation, in most, there's always differences, but in most of them, that is their child. It's not somebody else they just brought into the family. They were adopted in. You are now my child. And I tell my kids, I'm like, look, you got stuck with me, right? Like, you didn't have a choice. You know what? I got stuck with you. I didn't choose. God gave me. Do you know one thing that people who are adopted have? The parents that brought them in chose them. Do you know what happens about our Father in heaven? He chose us. We are chosen. We are chosen. We need to understand that there's nothing we can do to earn it. Next, I need to hurry along. You guys ready to hurry along? I'm ready to get to apple pies and stuff. How about y'all? Just being honest. Number two in your notes, man. Uh-oh, my notes are backwards from yours. I know. Well, let me look. That's what I'm saying. My notes are backwards. I have this one as three and the other one as two, but that's okay. I can swap. That's the good thing about this stuff. There will be a change after salvation. How many of you know you cannot be a new creation and be exactly the same as you were? Right? Like there is a difference that will happen. How many of you know when I see people now that I knew 20 years ago, because y'all remember, I used to stumble and drop. See where Eric's sitting at? That chair right next to Eric? That was my seat, except it was a pew. And I used to stumble and drunk and sit on that back row. My life was totally different. God changed me completely, right? And if he could do it for me, he could do it for you, right? That was the message that made me change my life. My friend in Louisiana, I was sitting on his couch in a trailer in Walker, Louisiana, and he said, listen. I said, how is this possible in you? I see everything's different. How is it possible? We grew up together since we were like 8, right? I've known, it was one of my best friends my whole life. I went up there to visit him. My life was still all crazy, and his had a semblance of peace, right? Actually, more than a semblance. It was, I could see what he had I needed. This is a side. This is a squirrel. Y'all ready? What in your life makes people look at it and say, what he's got, what she's got, I need it to be a part of my life? What about your life screams that? What about your life makes people ask you about Jesus? Or do our lives look exactly the same as everyone else's? Think that thought, right? It's not a thought to condemn us. It's a thought to make us reach further than we are right now. Amen? So I looked at him and I said, dude, what? How? How on earth is everything different? And he said, I gave my life to Christ. If you'll do it, he'll do the same for you. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I gave my life to Christ. It changed everything. And if you'll do it, he'll do the same for you. I promise. There will be a change. Romans 6, 1 through 4 says, what shall we say then? Are we content to continue in sin so that grace may abound? So, look, you paid for it, so I'm going to get everything on the ticket, right? I'm going to do as much as I can so I can get your grace. And Paul says, no, that's not what happens. That's not what happens. How many of you know that's the one thing I have with certain holidays, man? So, in Louisiana, we celebrate Mardi Gras all the time. A lot of people don't really understand what Mardi Gras is. But Fat Tuesday means sin all you can, because on Wednesday you're going to put ashes on your forehead and he has to forgive you. And it starts Lent. 40 days of fasting. Not eating meat, right? 40 days. So that when Good Friday comes, you know, we celebrate what happened. But the premise behind the whole thing is do every vile, wicked, evil thing that you want to do today, because tomorrow you're going to ask for forgiveness and he has to forgive you because his word says that. That's not how it works, y'all. Like, that's so far from how it works. But how many of you know we live our lives that way? We do. We live our lives, well, man, I know I shouldn't do this, but if I just go ahead and do this, he'll forgive me for it. That's a dangerous place to be. I'm just going to be honest, right? I'm just going to be honest. Paul says this. He says, should we continue in it so that grace may abound? Like, by no means. Heaven forbid, it says in the other. It says, how do we still, we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. There has to be a change. There has to be a difference. There has to be. Or honestly, did we actually give our lives to Christ? Think that thought. If I'm going to come and be exactly the same way that I was, did I do anything? Think that thought. Think that thought. Because this is what happens. As soon as I give my life to Christ, a war begins inside of me, right? Y'all remember the cartoon? The little angel and the little devil, and they're like, do this. I'm like, no, don't do that. I'm like, do this, don't do that, right? They're fighting. That's what happens inside of us. That's just a cute way for somebody to show you what actually is happening. And how many of you understand it? It works every day in our lives. We know what we should do, but we don't. We know what we should do, but it's, how many of you know it's a lot more difficult to do what we should do than to do what's right in situations? It's a whole lot easier for me to just start yelling at the people in front of me that I don't like that did something really stupid, right? Than it is for me to forgive them and just keep my mouth shut. Why? Well, I'm just being honest, that's pride inside of me. Saying, I deserve better than that. Just being honest. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about me. Take it easy. Take a deep breath. Right? But if the shoe fits, you could put it on too. Romans 7, 19 through 23. This is what he says. He says, for I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. How many of you know that to be true in our lives? I want to do right. I want to do right, but I find myself keep doing the wrong things. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who does it, but the sin that dwells in me. Now, that statement doesn't mean it's okay because I didn't really do it. It was the sin inside of me that did it, right? What is that? What was that old statement? The devil made me do it. No, he didn't make you do it. He just put it in front of you. You say, okay, right? I'm just being honest again. Y'all gonna be like, I sure wish you wouldn't be so honest with us sometimes, right? So I find it to be a law that when I do what is right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members, another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells inside of my members. So think this thought. I want to do things different. I want to do things different. I want to do things different, but I keep finding myself doing the wrong thing over and over and over. Just because the scripture tells us that we are free from sin doesn't mean that sin doesn't keep coming after us and trying to take us with it, right? Doesn't mean that once I get over this sin, that this one's not going to be waiting to hit me hard. Right? How many of you deal with something new on a regular basis? Like just when I think that I've got this anger thing taken care of, what's that? Something else. Just when I think I've got my anger taking place, let me say it like this. I'm gonna be honest. So when I first came to Christ, I still had a lot of things in my life that didn't belong, and I battled with cigarettes and nicotine for a long time, right? And some people say, well, that's not sin. Well, you know, I believe it is, especially to me. I'm not gonna put my convictions on you. I'm just gonna tell you how I feel. I begged God to take it away from me for a long time, and He took it from me. So if I go back to it now, it's sin in my life for sure, 100%. So. Going on the lines that my body's a temple and I need to keep it. I mean, there's all kind of verses I can use to point to it. And there's all kind of verses that other people can use to point to freedom. And you know what? Let the Holy Spirit teach you on that. But this is what happened. I went from one, so I would quit cigarettes, but I would pick up Copenhagen. So, like, but I quit cigarettes, but I picked up that. And then I would put down Copenhagen and I would go to cigars. Well, that's not cigarettes or Copenhagen, but it's... And then I would say, you know what? That's bad. I would hop from one to the other as I was trying to get rid of it. How many of you know? It wasn't helping me to get rid of it. But as soon as I would stop this one, I would think, well, that one's not as bad. And that's not as obvious. People don't see it, you know, as much if I take care and clean my mouth out and get it out of my teeth. So it's not just taking it, waving at people, right? So if I do that, then it's okay, right? And nobody knows about it. And then... But what would end up happening? I would jump from one to the other, to the other, to the other, and I was never really free from any of them, right? We do the same thing with sin in our lives. Just when we think we have this one under control and taken care of, this anger taken care of, gossip comes over here. I ain't going to be angry at them. I'm just going to talk about them behind their back, Makes me feel a whole lot better, and now I'm not angry. But wait a minute. That's not how it works. But how many of you know that's what we do in our lives with sin? We need to be free from sin. We need to understand that the war that goes on inside of us, that we have dominion over those things. How many of you know you can take the thoughts that come into your mind and cast them out of your mind? When that urge comes to do that, you can say, you know what, I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm going to dwell on something else. I'm going to dwell on something else. You know what, when I get the urge to do this one thing, I'm going to start praying and say, God, help me with that. How many of you know what? It'll change. Now, you'll still get hit with it, and it'll still try to take you over. But how many of you know the scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He's the one that gives us peace. He's the one that gives us wisdom and guidance, teaches us. And he also gives us self-control, is what the scripture says. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit that can come into our lives. So even though the war battles around us and those things are going, we can have freedom in it. How many of you know, just like today, America, we are free because we won the war a long time ago, right? We have freedom. But how many of you know our freedoms are still at risk every single day? Not to get political. I don't want to be political. But honestly, think about it. Our freedoms are, it's a war still going on for our freedoms. And we have to understand that there are certain things we have to do to keep our freedoms, right? Now, I understand, you know, God will never take my salvation from me. Never take it from me. But I have yet to find a scripture that doesn't say something about me walking away from it. I'm just being honest. I have yet to find it, and I'll find a scripture and bring it to me, that says that I at any time can't walk away from what Christ has done for me. Right? There's scriptures in, I can point you to some scriptures that say about the same thing, right? That says that I have an opportunity to do that, right? I ain't gonna tell you. I'm gonna make y'all look for it. Y'all want me? No, I'm gonna just make you look for it. I'll make y'all look for it. I found it the other day. I mean, I've read it. How many of you know you read stuff all the time, and then you find it, and you'd be like, oh, I didn't know that was in there. Like, is that really in there? Hold on a minute. Now I think, let me get another translation, because I don't think it says that in the right Bible, right? I found a scripture the other day that says, if I continue living in sin, there is no more sacrifice. Wow. That's all. Y'all find it. It's in there, I promise you. It's in there. So what is it? The battle that we face, we need to understand he's bigger than it and that he'll take care of us through it. So we've talked about, what am I on right now? There's a change. Now I'm going to come back to what I have as number two in my notes and three in your notes. You've been set free, don't turn back. How many of you know it's really easy to go back sometimes? It's hard to stay on it, stay straight. Galatians 5:1 says for this, says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. So don't go back to it. Once you've been delivered from it, don't go back to it. How many of you know time and time again we see not just scripturally, but in the world, we see people that get delivered or set free from certain situations, and then whether it's the same person in the situation they go back to or a different person and say they go back to that same situation. Right? So they're taken out of it and everything's better and done, and then they go back to it. I told you guys a story about me with my finances the other day, right? I had someone call me and say, hey, I'm going to take care of you. They bailed me out of my, so I was completely debt free, right? Right? That's how many of you know that's a really good family member right there. So he's completely debt free. April and I have been married about 2-3 years, maybe 4 years, and you say, hey, what do you got? I'm going to help you out. I'm going to get you out of it. I'm going to give you a fresh start. Okay, great. 20 years later, actually, no, not 20 years, because we have 18, 17 years later, I'm back in debt, y'all. Why? Because I got bailed out of it doesn't mean I didn't go right back to it. Do you know why? So I talked to my doctor, and I was trying to, I'm giving you a couple of examples of what I mean, like in the principle. And I want you to relay them to something in your life. So I went to my doctor, and I was talking about going and doing that, you know, that stomach surgery where you get skinny, right? So I went and talked to my doctor. I was really seriously. I'm like, dude, look, I'm too big. I need help. I want to go do this surgery. And he said, do you know what, man? He said, if you choose to do that, I'm your doctor. I'll stand beside you and I'll help you with it and we'll go through it. He said, but I want to warn you this. And I guess he thought I knew about computers because he told me this. He said, you can change the software, but unless you reboot the hardware, it ain't going to matter. Right? But for those of you who don't understand a computer, because I had to have it explained to me. So if I take away the thing that I'm standing in right now, but I don't fix what got me in that situation, I will be right back in that situation. He said, I can give you the surgery. We can get the surgery done. You can have that done. You can lose all of the weight. He said, but in 5 years from now, unless you change the way you eat, the way you exercise, unless there is a change, does that sound familiar? Unless there is a change, you will be right back where you are now and worse off because you won't ever be able to do that again. Right? So thinking that thought, if there's a change in my life, don't go back to it. If I've been set free, let's leave it alone. As a Christian, we are free from the bondage of sin. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, this is one of my favorites, y'all ready? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So you know what that means? Leave the past in the past and walk on. Don't dwell in it. It's done. It's over. And guess what? It's in the past. You know the only reason why we should look at our past? To see how far God has brought us from. Right? To say, that's where I was, and look at where I'm standing now. And that's not because of us. It's because of how good God is. And the reason why we use that is so that other people can see what he can do in their life. Right? No condemnation for those who are in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So if we're set free from it, then why would we be foolish enough to go back to it? Proverbs 26:11 says, like a dog returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Over and over. How many of you ever seen a dog do that? Like, ugh, don't kind of kiss me now. You need to go away, right? That's nasty. Why would you do that? I mean, you know, we in our lives, we do things and people look at us like, why would you go back to that? Like, didn't you just come from there? Like, didn't I just get you out of that mess? How many of you that happens with our kids all the time? Right? They get into a mess. We pick them up like, here, don't do that. Let's clean you up, get you over here. Then we turn around and we hear a thump. And we look back and they're right back doing what they was doing. Right? But like, why? I already got you out of that. How many of you know, I think God looks at us sometimes and be like, why would you do that again? Didn't we go over this like 6 times yesterday? It happens. We need to understand that we need to not go back to it, that we are free from it. And how do we do that? Scripture talks about how we put on Christ, right, in our lives, how we put on Christ. How do we do that? Well, first of all, let's look at what Christ did. How did he deal with people? How did he talk to people? How did he treat people? What was his life consistent of? Was it all about him? Actually, we look at it, it was nothing about him. And everything about everybody else. Well, I take that back. Let me take that back. There were some times that he went off by himself to get in the presence of God and be strengthened so that he could come back and take care of other people. How many of you know if you're still jacked up, it's really hard for you to fix other people, right? Yeah, we do it all the time. When I first stopped drinking alcohol, I wanted to go get all my buddies to drink alcohol. I wanted to go and get them so they didn't drink alcohol too, right? So they could have this. You know what ended up happening? After about 3 or 4 drinks, we were talking really hard about Jesus, and we loved everybody, right? Like, that's not how it works. Do you know what? I wasn't strong enough to be away from it, so I needed to stay away from it until I was strong enough to go back. You know what? Now I can go and sit next to somebody who's having a drink, and I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm not tempted. Like, you want some? I'm like, no, it's all right. Go ahead, man. That's what you're going to do. You do you, I guess, right? Just know that what Scripture says about things. Right? And to be clear, it doesn't say don't drink. There's other scriptures that say don't be drunk. So that's a whole other ball game, right? We can get into it. And I go through them because I wanted to, never mind, I'm going to shut up. How do you know we're supposed to put on Christ? We're supposed to put on, and when we put that on, like if we were putting on a suit or like we were putting on a costume or something, right? So that when people looked at us, what did they see? They see him and not us. They see his love, his grace, his mercy, not us. Do you know if our lives looked a lot more like Christ, then people wouldn't have a hard time listening to us about Christ? That's just a thought. That's a bonus one for you guys. If our lives looked more like Christ, people wouldn't have a hard time listening to us about Christ. But because our lives don't line up with what we say in a lot of things, people don't want to hear it. I mean, I don't want to listen to people that tell me how to do things that don't know what they're don't do it well either. Right? Again, going back to Nailed It. I'm going to make y'all laugh. All right, going back to Nailed It. I ain't going to ask the person who made this little jacked up thing in the corner, like, how'd you do that? That's so amazing. Right? I'm going to go to the one that did it in the first place and say, man, how did you do that? And you know what? They're going to tell you, I disciplined myself to learn how to do those things. Do you know what? If we would discipline ourselves to learn the Word of God and to make it of effect in our life so that we did, not just knew it, but we did it. Do you know how much different things would be? So how do we do it? Walk in freedom and is what I put in your notes. But I also have in my notes, flee from sin. Flee from sin. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 through 23 says this, abstain from every form of evil, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. How many know you're going to have good stuff and bad stuff come to you? And you have to hold on to it and be like, man, I'm going to keep this. Or you have to be like, oh, I don't need that in my life. Get rid of it. You know we have to do that with a lot of things. We have to do that with friends. We have to do that with things. Right? You know, there's some things that aren't, you know, things are inanimate objects. Right? Things are not sinful. It's what we do with them that make them sinful. Amen? All right, I'm going to go back to telling jokes again. Like, a little better when you all smile. Abstain from every form of evil, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we go back to the thought that all sin keeps us from God. So we need to try and stay away from all of it. You say, well, why don't you do that? Because it's a sin? No, but because some people look at it as being a sin, I don't want to disqualify myself in their eyes. You know what? I don't do certain things. I don't go certain places. Not because they're wrong. It's a place. Right? Not because they're wrong, but because if I go there, people see me there, they won't listen to what God has to say about the Word of God. What I have to say about the Word of God. What God says in his Word. They won't listen to it. There's some things that we do in my family. You know what? If you notice, I don't ever make political posts. Do you know that I do have a political opinion? This is a very strong one. But I don't post it out to everyone. Why? Because some people may not listen to what I have to say about God because they don't like what I say about politics. So because of that, I don't talk about politics. Is that what I ask your opinion? It is my opinion, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's how I do it, and that helps me to be able to reach more people, right? I want us to understand that our lives today are free. They should look like it. Amen? They should look like it. Oh, I'm going to close with this one, and then we're going to get ready to eat apple pie. I'm going to be ready for apple pie. All right. Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So if the Son sets us free, we're free indeed. How many of you are ready to be free from some stuff in your life? I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. Aaron, come on back up, man. Today, you might be a Christian that's allowed sin to come back in. You may have returned back to it. You may today be unsaved and still be under the bondage of sin. You may still be in a place where you're like, I don't really understand that I need a Savior, right? Because why do I need freedom if I'm not bound up by something? No matter where you're standing today, I just want you to understand that God loves you, that he set out a plan and a purpose, and that there's forgiveness. You say, I don't understand what it's all about, man. Then I want to encourage you to get in your Bible. Don't listen to me or to other people, but I want you to get in the Bible and start reading. I want you to read about what it says about Jesus, about what it says about sin, about those things. And I want the Holy Spirit to share with you and show you. Because how many of you know that it says that the Holy Spirit is the teacher? It teaches us. It leads us, guides us in all things. He does. And I want you to understand that today you can be free. So in saying that, heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, you be honest and say, you know what? I'm one of those categories. And I want to know what it feels like to be free today. I want to truly be free. I know Jesus. I've been walking with him, but I'm bound up and stuck in some things that I need to get rid of. You be honest and say, that's me. Just put your hand up and put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe today you've never accepted Christ. Thank you. Maybe today you've never accepted Christ and you want to know what this freedom is, this feeling. When I gave my life to Christ, I felt good about myself finally for once, right? I felt free. There was a complete and total difference in who I was. Night and day there was a difference. Some of us need a change today. Dear Heavenly Father, you saw the hands that were raised. Man, you know what we're struggling with and what's going on in our lives. And I ask that you would help us with being who you created us to be. That you would help us in seeing your will, seeing your forgiveness, what your Son has done for us. And as we say this prayer in a minute, understanding, God, is not these words that we say, but it's our heart that we're giving to you, Father. Scripture tells us if we confess with our heart, confess with our mouth, and believe in our heart that we will be saved. So we say a prayer. It's a way that we can confess with our mouth. So if you would, I'd like for you to say this prayer with me this morning. Say it out loud so others can hear you. All of us together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins, things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. You sent your Son so that I could have freedom. I accept it now. Help me be free. Help me follow you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Let's give those a hand that prayed that prayer this morning. So if you prayed that prayer with us either here or if you're online, you can check it out on the website. Fill out one of our connection cards. If you're here in the back seat of the pocket in front of you, one of those there is a connection card, communication card. If you'll fill that out and say, why do you want to know about it? Because we want to celebrate with you. We want to pray for you as the leadership of the church. We want to pray for you. And because how many of you know, again, what did I say? One of the points. Well, it's a subtitle, a subpoint. A war begins. You know, sometimes it gets more difficult. Because it's easy to go with the flow. It's hard to go against it sometimes. You need people to stand with you and to walk with you. And how many of you know there are people in this house? If you're walking with the people that are in this house, I want you to put your hand up. I want them to see you. We're walking with you. We're walking with you this morning. So, this is what we're going to do. We're going to stand up. Is it still looking like rain outside or is it looking good? We get it set up? Oh, that might be important, huh? Hold on, they're right over there. They can't get to the chairs and the tables because I got them locked up in the trailer. That's a bad thing, right? All right, hold on. I think they're in the front pocket right there. Yeah, I'll do it while we sing. Let's stand up and sing.